Dark Minions. It's the Dark Mark Show. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It's your Thursday Night Freak Show. We're going to have a good show tonight. It's going to be this guy. One of our guests is laughing already. I don't know what's going on. I didn't even say anything funny, but I see why he's smiling. He's in between two of the most beautiful women I know.
Indeed.
Josie Kat is not here, so we have Jenna Sharp, one of our favorites.
Hey, everybody.
Hasn't been on for about a year, and I was complimenting her sultry, silky, smooth voice, and you don't think you have a good radio voice, but you do.
No, I really don't.
You really?
I do not like listening to my own voice.
Nobody does, but your voice is fantastic. I was listening to old shows. First time Jenna was on, she bit me. She got fangs in and she bit me. And that was
a long time ago in a different studio.
That was in a different studio. And then we set you on fire. We electrocuted you. Doc Shaw came in and electrocuted you with electric wands.
And then also
Master Overbound choked you.
Yes, did some breath play.
Yes, you
showed the proper way to do it.
Proper way to do some breath play. And we're actually going to talk this time. And we've got some great guests to talk with.
Fantastic.
Somebody, when I first started doing the show, I said, I know I have to have Kendra Cryan on. She is a fascinating woman. She's one of my favorite people, and one of my many unrequited crushes all over the place. Like that's a secret. How many times have I hit on you? But she has Liquid City Productions. She curates art events. She has some of the wildest clubs and craziest clubs that you've ever seen, and she knows a lot of people. And her birthday was last month. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
And I was at a birthday show that she had, and I was like, well, why don't you bring one of the performers? And then he couldn't make it. And like, I know so many interesting people. And yes, you do, because you brought today Basil Nestor, the author of Playboy's Guide to Casino Gambling, among other books.
Yes.
And he's not only a gambling expert, now he's getting into inventing and revolutionizing food.
Yeah, I brought you food. I brought you...
It's amazing. I see this guy everywhere, and we run into each other, and I'm like, hey, Basil, and he's like, you look familiar.
And you didn't know
I'm like, no, that's cool.
And you didn't know he was such a big deal. You didn't know he was a TV producer. You didn't know
I just knew he was a cool guy. He always showed up and was nice. But I know why you don't recognize me. So usually I have contacts and, like, different types of
wins. Is it coming together now, Basil?
I was just surprised to see you tonight. Last time we were together was at a birthday party.
Nice, Kendra.
You're
welcome.
Much closer.
Yeah,
last time we were together was at Eric's birthday party, and it was wild, and, you know, things were happening. But, you know, I saw you tonight. I was like, I did not expect to see you.
Well, I'm awful surprises.
I got some sneaks there.
Yes.
Oh, what I was doing, though, is that when he said that I was going to be co-hosting, I kind of, like, you know, Facebook, you know, spotted on you guys. So I didn't realize that we, all of us, were from northern Midwest.
Yeah, we are.
Like, we have got some
of
the coolest people that grow up there, and then we come out here and we share the love.
There's a whole Midwest goth fetish club mafia coming out here.
We're taking over.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But before we do, let me say, we are brought to you because last week we had such a wild show with Bree Walker and other guests. Elizabeth Aston was on, and we were late, and I forgot to do my sponsor, which is great because that's probably the highest rated show we're going to have. But we're sponsored by Audible.com, and I looked to see if Basil, who has a lot of books out, had an audiobook on Audible.com. He does not, but this is good for all you goth people. The Edgar Allan Poe audio collection, narrated by Vincent Price and Basil Rathbone.
Perfect.
That's good. Also, a couple of our former guests have had books on Audible.com. Sasha Gray has her novel, The Juliet Society, and she reads that. That's about 8 hours of her reading filth, and why not? And also, Brad Warner, the punk rock Buddhist monk we've had on, has his book Hardcore Zen on Audible.com. They got everything on Audible.com. Whatever you're looking for, if you're looking for a good story, if you're looking I'm sure they have other poker books. They have all sorts of crazy stuff. Just go to darkmarkshow.com. There's an Audible button right next to my smiling face. Just click on that. You get a free book. I'm giving you a free book. Just take it.
Sweet.
Free audiobook. You get a free 30-day trial at audible.com. You can cancel any time within that 30 days. You still keep the book. There's no, you can sign up with your Amazon account. There's no pressure. It's going to be, you know, just grab a book on me.
It's a great deal.
It is a great deal. And also, I did want to say before we start, I'm very excited. This is the first time I've announced it. I have my new comedy, which hopefully I'll get on audible.com, my new comedy CD, I Laughed So Hard I Cried, is coming out in October, appropriately for Halloween.
Yay!
And I will be having the release party at the CIA. We all love the CIA, the California Institute of Abnormal Arts in North Hollywood, the craziest club in town.
Congratulations.
And we're going to have, it's going to be quite a show. Not just me, because I'm going to be doing comedy, but we're also going to have comedy with our friend Joe Adams. Everybody knows Joe Adams. We're going to have comedy with, you don't know Joe Adams, but they do. And we're going to have comedy with Kamira White, who's been on the show. She's hilarious. Nikki Wants is going to be on. Clownly Monroe is going to be on. Orpheus Black is going to do Dirty Stories.
Fantastic.
Xavier Axelson is going to be doing Dirty Stories. And we're going to have music. We're going to have some weird stunt work. We're going to have magic with Arthur Gomez. We're going to have music with the Mod Pods. And just confirmed today, Society One is going to do a special acoustic
wow.
set.
Awesome.
So
wow.
Go to gothcomedian.com and you'll have all the details. It's $10, but that's a lot of entertainment for $10. If you're hedging, everybody who shows up gets a free download of my comedy album.
Wow.
So
wow.
That's going to be the party to go to October 17th, 9 o'clock at the CIA. So I'm going to get the camera right on Jenna and Basil here. Let me start with Kendrick. Because Kendrick, so you're from Toledo, right?
Yes, love.
Born and bred in Toledo, Ohio.
Yep.
And when did you move out to LA? I mean, when did were you like promoting goth clubs and crazy stuff in Toledo?
Yes. I absolutely was doing Frankie's Underground. It was a goth night and 80s night. It was awesome. And then we moved it to Bowling Green's Uptown, and it became this Igon I Nation. And now it's every Wednesday night in Bowling Green, Ohio. There's two clubs and maybe like 500 people come out from everywhere from Detroit to Cincinnati, Kentucky, and then entire area. Everybody will drive the extra like 4 hours because it's the only thing there to do.
And that's right. That's your legacy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yep. I sure wish I knew about it then. That would have been.
How far were you from Bowling Green?
It wouldn't have mattered. I would have driven.
Because Jenna's from Indiana. She was from Indiana. So you were a big fish in a small town. You were the head crazy. Now, growing up in Toledo. Is it a small town? Is it considered a...
It's a nightmare.
Really? it's not like a podunk, like nothing. Like
it's, no, there's large cities.
The Mud Hens are there.
It was an interesting nightmare, hopefully.
Yeah, it was an interesting nightmare, yeah.
Wasn't Klinger from MASH from there or something?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's like it's not a big city, but it's kind of a medium town.
Katie Holmes is from there.
Yeah. Well, we'll forgive them for that. But
yeah, it doesn't really make a difference because Michael Jackson was from Gary, Indiana. And really, it's the butthole of Indiana.
Really?
I think that was the murder capital for a while of Indiana.
Oh, my God. There are potholes there that will eat Priuses.
Really?
So, like, if you have a Prius, do not drive in Gary, Indiana. You will lose your car.
Indiana, not the best road maintenance there?
Just Gary, Indiana. Like, ours was fine. It's just that particular area. They're just like, Michael Jackson, we quit. We're done.
Right.
Thank you and good night. They just dropped the microphone.
Wow. So what prompted you to move to LA from, I mean, you're the queen of Toledo. What prompted you to move to LA?
I like that you said that. I really just wanted to surf. So that was my whole goal, yeah. And I am an awful surfer, but at least I've done it and I can do it.
Okay.
I'm awful at it. But that was my whole goal and dream was to surf. Yeah.
What prompted this dream?
I had no idea. I loved the water when I was a kid, and I just kept going with it. And then I just would watch all the surfers on TV, and I'm like, I want to do that. I don't want to be here in Ohio, you know, packed into the house with a bunch of snow. I want to be out doing whatever it is I want to do. And,
And here you are. And so when did you start doing clubs out here? And what's the difference between getting a club started here and in Toledo?
Well, in Toledo, there was nobody really at all to go to the clubs. So you had to actually really search from here. Like, you kind of do an event and people come to it because they want to do something. And a lot of you can meet people and meet really fascinating, interesting artists. And I really like to bring the arts into the nightclub.
Well, that's the thing. That's what Liquid City Productions does. And that's what really sets you apart is that you have artists exhibiting their art while people are dancing and drinking and doing
all
those
stuff. Yeah,
I'll
have anywhere from 20 to, you know, 50 artists displaying their work.
Right.
And I also curate at Second Street Cigars and Gallery in downtown, so I'm able to have a lot of the artists in the gallery and then pull them into the shows and vice versa. So
And I mean, doing their showing their art in the club. I mean, does it help sales for them or?
Yeah, it does. It does because they get so much different exposure.
Right.
You know, from a totally different crowd that wouldn't normally go to a gallery.
Right.
I know that I've bought a couple of pieces from her shows.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you weren't at the Glow Crazy?
Which one was that?
That was in late April where we did all self-illuminated art.
No.
The reason I say that is because art was flying off the walls there. People were literally,
Kendra and I
co-produced it. And people were coming to me and saying, can I take the art now?
Right.
And I'm like, yes, you can. It was
an excellent show. The artwork was amazing.
That sounds great. I wish it was there.
The concept was that we'd done so many shows together where lighting was an issue. You know, we always got it right, but lighting is a huge extra thing where you have to have the lights and where the lights and where you're going to have the lights. So I said, let's do a show where all the art was self-illuminating. So it was either neon or it was incandescent or it was, you know, in some way creating its own light. And then all the other elements that Liquid City Productions had been very well known for.
Right.
And boy, it was hugely successful. I mean, we're talking, the place was packed and we had to like kick them out at the end of the night. Literally, go home.
Right.
Go home.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I missed that.
Well, we'll make sure that you're when
please,
we do it again.
Next time we do it, yes. But that's obviously Basil speaking. And I didn't know Basil was such a big deal. I've seen Basil at the clubs. We've talked.
Yes.
And then I do research on you and you're telling me about his new food venture, and we will talk about that. Mm-hmm. But this is a guy I didn't know you're such a big deal. I didn't know you wrote the Playboy Guide to Casino Gambling.
Yes.
And
yes.
You've written
eight books, seven of which are about gambling. The first one was about biography of Judy Garland called Judy Garland, A Life in Pictures.
I was wondering if that was you.
And then
I was wondering if you were gay.
But I just was always...
No, but you wrote a book about Judy Garland. That's the correlation.
I kind of became very well known in you know, gay circles, and everyone just, you know, was like, oh, please come to our parties, and, you know, and I was like, I am so straight.
By the way, I get invited to those parties, but for a completely different reason. But what is it about Judy Garland that appeals to gay men so much? You're the expert.
Yeah, I think what it is just the life that she led that had to do with aloneness and perseverance. And I think that one of the things that identified her was that she was obviously incredibly talented.
Sure.
She was very attractive to people. People thought she was attractive, but she didn't think she was attractive herself. She knew what her worth was, but she had low self-esteem often.
Right.
And I think that a lot of people that are suffering being in the closet or in some way integrating into society can...
You almost said suffering for being a homosexual, but please, that's not everybody's suffering.
Yeah, well, obviously, but what I mean is that the idea, I think that everyone who, in this society, to a large degree, it takes a leap of faith and you have to come to grips with who you are.
Sure.
And I think that when that happens, people can relate to what Judy Garland went through, and they want to, they understand the experience of being very, very, having a lot to offer and feeling uncomfortable in the interaction with society.
Mm. That sounds like my story. But now, as a straight man, what prompted you to write a book about Judy Garland?
Well, I... Now we're getting into the serious stuff. I was always actually a big Liza Minnelli fan.
Okay, so you are.
And Dark Mark, here's my revelation. This is, you know, I mean, you just brought it out of me in an interview.
Right.
And that is that when I was very young, I saw the film Cabaret. I don't know if you're familiar, Bob Fosse.
I've heard of it, yes.
And
it's an amazing film. She's amazing in it.
Yeah, it is. It is an amazing film. And when I saw it, it served sort of as a blueprint to my own life.
Okay.
And for a million different reasons. I mean, there was a vision in it. There was a style in it. There was something that
you were persecuted by Nazis?
No, it had more to do with, although sometimes, you know, in society one feels that way occasionally, but no, it had more to do with the idea of art and life and sensuality being fused and not being, those things aren't separate. They're actually together. They always exist together.
Right.
And so when I saw that, it just really affected me as, you know, a boy. I was a boy at the time.
It's fusing together right now because I can't look at you because both these women are just intently looking at you, hanging on every word, and they're just so bold, so beautiful. I can't even.
Actually, they are.
The erection I have under my desk has nothing to do with you, Basil. Let me tell you something.
And
look at that. Yeah,
making me uncomfortable.
There you go. But actually, here's the point. Actually, okay. You're making my point for me, and that is that when I saw that film, I had a vision of my own life.
Right.
And in many ways, that vision involved being here tonight with these women. And I'm telling you the truth.
This guy's smooth.
He's
I'm telling
smooth.
You. Well, here's the
thing. We're both like, aww.
But anyway.
I want to be you, man. That's good. Thanks, that was good.
Well. Anyway, but, that's Liza
but
to
being
Judy.
A poker player.
Yeah.
You probably clean up with the women. You can see the tells.
Well, here's the thing, and that is the most important thing about poker isn't necessarily being able to play your hand. It's being able to play
some cards.
Someone else's hand.
Right. Exactly. Well, I know you're reading the players. You're not reading the cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
You're not reading your hand. You're
right. So, but when you go out and you're talking to girls, with the Liza Judy thing, I'm still confused. But if you're going out, you're talking to girls, you can tell. What they're reacting to, and you can change based on that reaction. Right.
That's absolutely correct.
Because I can't. I don't know what I don't know what women are thinking until it goes horribly wrong. That's me.
If you so like you get somebody, smacked
I'm
in
gonna,
the face.
I'm going to give you. I'm going to
no,
give
I
you like.
In the face.
I'm going to give you like one thing that like one tell.
Okay.
All right. And that is that when you're talking to a woman,
right?
And obviously we all if there's a pretty girl you want her to like her, you want her to like you. But
I want her to like herself as well. But yeah, that's hard in this town.
But sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But if you're unsure.
Right.
And you're talking to her and you're having an honest conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out and touch her gently on the shoulder.
Right.
Like this. Okay. And
how she leaned in, that's a tell.
Exactly. What she does with her body tells you what kind of opportunities you might have. And if that woman angles herself to you and also touches you back, you've got a chance. She pulls back or she crosses her arms.
I'm used to that.
You know, even if it's a good conversation, you're like, you know, it's not always about you. But actually, that's one other thing. And I'm going to just 90% of the things that happen, especially the bad things that happen, aren't about you. If someone's in a bad mood.
Oh, sure.
It's not necessarily all, you know, about what you did. It's about what's happening.
Right. And you never know what that person's been through that day or even their year or what was their last experience like with the opposite sex or whoever it is that you're dealing with.
Right.
You know, it could just be like you remind them of somebody. And so, you know, maybe that makes them a little bit more closed off too.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'm increasingly, as I get older here, you remind me of your father, which is fine. Cause I make him go to bed before I fuck up. So it's good. Anyway, Kendra, they got school in the morning, but Kendra, now let me ask you a question. Cause you are a club promoter and we're going to talk about the art and everything else, but what is it about the goth culture that it's eternal? I mean, clubs come and go, scenes come and go, but the goth culture just keeps going on.
I don't know.
Okay. Do you have a theory on this?
I think those people are always going to be a little depressed, and they're always going to like the mysterious and the odd. So you put those things together, and, you know, that's always going to continue. You're always going to get that little bit of depression, but you're still going to get people that are... I think that the whole goth community is very cultured.
Mm-hmm.
And also very eccentric. So you're always going to have people like that, and they're going to follow their roots. You know, they're going to follow their way back, and then just going to keep going. I don't think there's any way of stopping that.
Right. And also, you're Liquid City, and I don't know if you had a question, Jenna, but...
Oh, well, I was going to also just kind of make a comment and see if you agree as well, is along with that, when you said the depression, right?
Yeah.
And so I think just society in general, everybody deals with that, but a lot of people put on... a happy face, and they're like, oh, if I do this and this and this, then everything's going to be okay, or it's going to seem okay to everyone else.
I don't get that
from the goth community. I feel like we're very real with each other.
I agree.
And within that reality, we find family and community, and so it's like we see the same people over and over again. We fall in love with their art because we see their heart within it.
Well, we also have an outlet for our depression.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely an outlet for it.
There's also, I think the community is also very, the concept is very triumphalist, meaning the idea is that people that are very involved in goth culture actually hold up things that are dark and death and sadness and say, here it is, I'm not afraid of it. Mm-hmm. I own it.
Absolutely.
Right. You know, I like you guys' answers better than mine. Thank you.
Oh, no.
I appreciate that.
Actually, no.
I totally see it when you talk about the art and the art that you offer. When we go and we look at these things, I see people's heart. You know, I don't see people who are just trying to make money. It's about, like, this is who I am,
right,
and I accept me. Here it is on a canvas.
Mm-hmm.
And within that, we're able to go, I relate, and then take that and feel acceptance and validation. And like you're saying, we go, you know, here it is. We're not scared of it. We're not ashamed of it. This is life.
You in particular, Jenna, dress up. You put fangs in. You dress up.
I love to have fun like that.
You get all sorts of stuff.
Totally.
I think everybody likes to do stuff like that.
But within that, like with our groups, we can go and have an absolute blast to say like Noise Factory. Mm-hmm. Or then we can also go and experience art and the same music and go home feeling just as fulfilled by going to Kendra's stuff as well and being able to all have that kind of experience within our one culture.
Actually, here's a good example of what I think the goth culture embodies. Is actually the night that I met you, which was, I want to say, 2 years ago.
This guy smoked.
Probably.
Yeah, it was that we were at...
Oh, and watch this. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. it was very memorable to me. It was, we were at 333, mm-hmm. If I'd seen you before, I mean, I'm sure we had been like in the same room before, but we were introduced by Chrome Girl.
Yeah, Shannon.
And when she introduced you to me, you made eye contact with me. You looked at me and you said, "And it's a pleasure meeting you." And we shared a moment where of actual acknowledgement, as opposed to, "Oh, it's a busy, loud room."
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of contact that people actually have is much more prevalent and present in what I would consider to be the goth culture than in a lot of other cultures.
No, I completely agree. Yeah.
So
it's people's hearts that we see when we go out and we like, hey, I accept you. Mm-hmm. And let's go dance.
Well, while Jenna and Basil get a room, let me ask you this question, and it's a similar question, but your clubs always have 80s music.
Usually
have 80s music. Not always, okay. Usually feature 80s music. What is it about 80s music that it's still, the kids love it.
It appeals to everybody.
It appeals to everybody. There's, but why not 90s music?
I don't know. 90s music, the whole grunge scene was awful.
But I mean, there's more to 90s music than the grunge scene. Because I remember, I don't know how far back, I remember even when like the 70s were coming back and then people were like, well, 80s will never come back. It's stupid. And then the 80s came back. And then you're like, okay, well, then 90s clubs are going to start popping up. And a couple people tried it.
And it fails.
It failed.
Mm-hmm. Always fails.
I liked it. I went to a 90s club once. I was really drunk, but I liked it. But they're playing Vogue and Bjork and stuff like that. But it was just like, what is about the 80s music that even the 70s never really came back? But and the 90s and the 2000s, I don't think it's going to have the same impact.
I don't know. I think it was the beats of the music. It's so easy to swirl around to, and you can act out because the lyrics are great, and each song has a little story that you can actually dance out.
Right.
You know? So I think
that's definitely something that's missing is the story in a lot of music.
Yeah.
And so 80s music really tells a story.
It does. Most of the time it does, yeah. What's also good, you were talking about how, like, you know, it's like almost kind of like almost a simple beat. You can take that and then remix it, and it's just as fresh and just as much fun as it was the first time you heard it back in the 80s. And so I think that's why it's really popular. It's easy to come back and remix and make it new and exciting again.
Right.
So, like, pizza's always pizza, but you throw something new on there, and you're like, oh, it's new pizza.
Oh, so there we go. 80s music is like pizza. Where everybody loves it.
Yeah.
Even the bad,
there you go.
80s music. Yeah, bad pizza's good pizza. Okay. Anyway, Bob, I met you a couple times, and I'm sure you don't recall when we met and our eyes met and all that. Maybe you do. I don't know. But
it was at Bordner's.
Here you go. See, he does remember. But
yeah, I
didn't know you were such a big deal. Kendra's like, oh, he's coming. But you, when did you start playing poker?
years ago, many years ago.
Was that when the poker boom was like 10 years ago?
No, before that, actually. Okay. What happened was is that because of the visions that I was telling you about, I ended up going to film school and I became a commercial director.
Really?
Yes. And I ended up doing a lot of TV commercials, and many of which were for Merv Griffin. And he and I were just famous friends. And I loved him. I loved him.
Judy Garland and Merv Griffin?
Yeah, I know. Come on, dude. I'm telling you. No. Anyway.
How was Merv Griffin?
He was an awesome man. He was incredible. He was so creative and so personable. He was the kind of person that made you just forget everything except being creative. I mean, he just made me a better artist.
So he took care of all the business end of it and said, just create.
Pretty much.
Okay, so you say, I need this. He got you that.
Yeah, actually, one of the things he would do is when we would work together, he would give me just as a creative freedom. He would literally say, just do whatever it is you feel you want to do. I trust you completely. In fact, that's the very first time I ever met him. He said, I trust you completely. Right. Do what you feel is best.
And by the way, I got to explain, especially for kids in the studio and people under 30 that might be listening and watching. Merv Griffin had a show. He was in the 70s. He had a talk show at night and in the afternoon, I think. Really big talk show. And by the time you met him, I think he was doing more producing. He pre-created Jeopardy. He produced a lot of shows.
He created Jeopardy. He created Wheel of Fortune.
Wheel of Fortune. Yeah. So the man, he started out as a singer, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts back in.
Right. And so, and when you met him, he was older.
He was.
But he was still doing commercials and.
Well, what he was doing, the way I got into gambling was he owned casinos.
Right.
And so I was doing, owned them. Okay. So I started doing commercials for casinos. And then one day I thought to myself, you know, I like this business. This is a great business.
Right.
And although being a commercial director was very lucrative, mm-hmm. I thought to myself, there's even more money in the gambling business.
Right.
So essentially what I did was I transitioned. I still do media and video, and I'm still do a lot of things that involve marketing. Well, but I started gambling professionally, and I started writing books about it because I wanted the royalties.
So you quit commercial directing and just gambled full time?
And wrote, yes.
And how much money did you have in the bank?
Well, a lot. Okay.
More after I was
playing.
What kind of pot did you start out with?
Oh yeah, he wants to get jacked on the way out.
We're not talking about what's in my pocket. But I will tell you this. One of the things I love.
But it was in the thousands.
Oh, one of the things.
it was at least a couple hundred.
One of the things I loved about when poker was more accessible online,
right,
was that way back in the day, I made one deposit. Mm-hmm. Online, right. And then for the next 5 years, I did nothing but withdraw.
Wow!
Yeah.
I think he knows what he's talking about.
So that's crazy.
That's not possible anymore. And the reason why is just that the federal regulations have changed online poker. Eventually, we're going to get back to being able to play online poker, you know, legally.
Right.
But right now, it's very, very difficult.
In the early 2000s, when it really boomed, you could still do it online.
Yeah.
And then, like, there were so many people doing it.
And there were so many people that were bad at playing poker.
You could fleece them. Yeah.
You could earn money. And as long as, here's the thing, as long as you declared it, and God bless the IRS, I always declare my income.
Right.
Okay. That was the most important thing.
Right.
And people literally would just come online and they'd almost essentially give you money.
The poker boom really started. I mean, you know, everybody
2002, 2003.
When Craig Moneymaker was his name, I think. Chris Moneymaker?
Chris.
Okay. He was a guy that won. He got in through an online tournament.
Right.
And won the World Series of Poker.
Right.
And it was televised. And then after that, everybody I know was playing poker and quitting their job and starting poker. That's why I'm asking you. Because probably if you got a couple grand in the bank and you're going to do poker.
I wrote my first books before that happened. My first books came out in 2004, 2005.
And here's the other question I have now. And I actually brought some cards, so we might do a hand or two. But you wrote a book on how to beat slots.
Yes.
How do you do that?
Okay, all right. Well, here's the thing.
Blackjack. I understand poker. There's a skill to that.
You can actually look at a slot machine and know how much it's going to pay back.
Okay, right? I'm going to Vegas at the end of the month. Right. I'm playing the Hard Rock.
And tell me how so, for example, one of the magazines I write for, Casino Player magazine, has slot charts in the back. And what are the slot charts? What they do is every major jurisdiction is required by law to report how much their slot machines earn.
Right.
And so you can actually look at those charts and see, like, by denomination and oftentimes by casino, which slots pay back more than others. And so, for example, I can tell you that at a certain time last year that if you were playing at Caesars in Atlantic City, a slot machine, a nickel slot machine, it was going to be much tighter than a dollar slot machine at a Borgata. And
where do you get these charts?
They're at the back of Casino Player magazine, and Casino Player collates all this information from all over the country. And
that was a nice plug, but yeah, okay.
Well, I write for them.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's you can once you're familiar with how machines pay back, you can literally choose your machine based on how much you want to get back, essentially, right. Wow. And what the loosest machines are.
Okay. But probably stay away from, because all the machines now are like gimmick machines. They're all like TV show machines and Batman machines and Twilight Zone machines and Gilligan's Island machines.
Well, I'll tell you, just
stay away from those, right?
No, I don't want to say, generally speaking, penny and nickel slots are the tightest slots. Penny slots are the tightest slots of all. Nickel slots, progressives are very, very tight. If you want to get a really, really good return for your money, what you want to do is you want to play video poker for the most part.
Right, right.
And not just any video poker machine, but there are certain pay tables. You can actually look at a video poker machine pay table and determine based on what the pay table is, what the payback is.
Right.
So, for example, if you're playing, and I'm just going to be very simple here because this is a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
If you're playing a straight jacks or better game and the pay table has nine credits for a full house and six for a flush, that will give you a 99% payback. But if it's six for a full house and five for a flush, that's going to drop it to 95%. That's 5% less that you're going to get paid back.
Right.
And over time, when you're just not getting as many paybacks, it's going to not push you as far and give you as much room to get that jackpot, which is the royal flush.
Okay.
So you want you can look at a machine and say, okay, I want this pay table over that pay table, and
so basically subscribe to Casino Player magazine is basically the
actually buy my book first and then
right. Okay. yes, it's on Amazon right now. So let me do this here. Hold on 1 second, because wait, let's play some strip poker. Come on, here you go.
Strip poker.
Here. Oh, there you go.
Did you actually?
We'll put that as the flop.
Okay.
We know what that is. So that's your card.
You want to burn that card?
Okay, we'll burn that card. There's a card.
All right, I'm putting my vest back on.
Out of control.
Out of control.
Okay. There's one for you.
Thank you.
There's one for me.
These are like win-win cards. Even if you lose, you
put three out. Then you put three out, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So here's the flop. Okay.
Yeah, and I would actually might call this hand for a.
Okay, so it's a queen, an eight, and a four. Uh-huh. Okay, so I bet my left shoe.
And I would generally fold at this point.
Okay, so what's my tell?
The fact that you just bet, I have no money in the pot at this point unless I put in a...
But we're all anted in, let's say.
All right, well, if you anted in and you bet, how much did you bet?
Well, it's one shoe. It's a small bet.
Okay, when I'm saying if it's a small bet, depending on the size of the pot, what's in the ante, I would still fold because it's like I just... The cards that are here and the cards that I have indicate to me that I don't have...
So you're not playing me, you're playing your own cards right now.
No, I'm also playing you because you're first to act. In other words, it's like if I was, and I don't mean to get too complicated here. If I was first to act, I would probably bet even though I had no cards.
Okay.
So, and then you would have the same decision I would. You'd have to look at me and say, I don't know, is he betting for a reason? Okay, is he trying to build a pot or whatever? But you said you went first. So.
Kendra, do you call or do you raise?
I'll call.
Okay.
All right, I'll raise my fishnet shirt.
Okay.
Oh, I had to say something. This can go.
So you're betting your shirt. I call, and you're calling too, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and you're folding.
I'm folding.
Okay. Do you know who has the best hand already?
I would say that I would probably aim my possibilities at Jenna. I think she's probably. I don't mean to like. Okay, I'll say I think she's probably got a pair.
Okay. All right. Let's see what happens here. So, Kendra, you bet.
First action to you, actually.
Oh, first action to me. Okay. Yeah. I'll check.
So then
Kendra. Kendra, yeah. No, it's the Kendra.
Oh, okay. Kendra.
And I'll check.
My belt. I raised my belt.
You raise your belt.
Uh-huh. So far it's my shirt and my belt.
And your shoe.
And apparently my shoe.
Yeah, because I bet the shoe first.
That's cool. I don't care. It's a shoe.
Okay, so.
By the way, before you reveal your cards, I want to try to see if I can predict what they are.
Okay.
Okay, I call.
I think I'd probably be out at this point.
You gonna fold?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. All right. Now, you know who has the best hand?
I know who I think is betting.
Okay, so that's a five. Okay.
That's our last card, right? That's our last.
Action is to you since she...
Okay.
Yeah, action is
I was out.
I'll go all in.
You're gonna take all your clothes off?
Yes.
Yeah.
That means I have to take all my clothes off.
That's the best.
I didn't shave, man. All right, a fold.
Okay.
All right, don't.
No, okay. Analyze what just happened.
Yeah, I'm going to say that my guess is that she had either a pair of queens. What? This is a...
That's a queen.
Pair of queens or...
These are my Betty Page playing cards.
Yeah, I know. Either a pair of queens or a pair of eights, and probably... Or she was on a draw. And you... I would say that since I wasn't involved with a hand, I would either say that you were completely bluffing or you also had a pair or better.
Okay. And what did you have, Jenna?
I had two pair. Aces over twos.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got out. I had a pair of sevens. Wait,
by the way, where's the ace? That's a four.
Oh, never mind.
Anyway, but I...
I can't see from over here.
I had a king and a queen, so I would have won the hand.
Yeah. Okay. Now, what I had was a king and a nine.
Right.
And so I knew that for the most part, because there was action ahead of me, that right. Even though...
I also had, isn't that a flush?
Oh, I would have got naked. Okay. There you go. All right.
I had the flush when I first started, yeah. And then I saw that what I thought was an ace.
These cards are so weird. I didn't see the... And I'm colorblind
really
anyway.
Here's a good example of a good fold. And that is that... And by the way, saving money on a good fold, and that is that you had a king and a queen. A king and a nine, heads up, is right. Reasonably strong, but against four people, and with you leading out, a king and a nine unsuited, just drop that hand.
Right.
Don't spend money.
Okay.
When you can win, you can save your money and win on a hand where your cards are better.
Okay. Well, there we go. You were actually pretty accurate. I mean, as accurate as you can be. She did have a better hand. You would have seen me naked. You should have called. And that tells you how much she wants to see me naked. Anyway, Kendra,
I'm so sorry you didn't call.
I went all in for a reason. I'll risk
figured
it. It's
someone
okay.
was going to be naked.
Yes, exactly. So anyway, Kendra, when is the next Liquid City? What do you got coming up?
The only thing I have coming up right now is at Second Street Cigars and Gallery. I'm going to have about 30 artists September 26th, Friday, September 26th.
Now, how did you get involved with Second Street Cigars and Gallery?
I actually knew Victor, who was the old owner. My friend Patty Peach, who was a radio DJ for years.
Okay.
She actually introduced me to this guy named Victor.
This is the first time you've been on radio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Patty Peach never put you on her show.
Well, that was a while ago.
Okay.
I believe it was Jack FM that she worked for, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Jack FM. It was okay. The years and years ago. But she introduced me to this guy, Victor, who was, he had been the drummer for the Bay City Rollers for a little while.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I thought he was a pretty fascinating character. So, you know, heard he had the cigar gallery. So went in there and he was like, hey, you want to bring some artists in here and start doing this? And I was like, yeah, let's give this a whirl. So just started, posting out on Craigslist, which I still do, and on Facebook, and ask for artists, and then...
It's not as good as it used to be on MySpace, let's be honest, right?
I liked MySpace. I'm not a fan of Facebook.
Everybody that promotes shows tells me that. They like, MySpace, I was able to reach out and really get a lot of people. Now, Facebook sucks.
Yes.
You gotta look at other things. You have four Facebooks.
Yeah.
Christian Vox has four Facebooks, and she's frustrated. She doesn't know what to do.
Yeah. And then they still stop you when you're sending out messages, like individual message people to invite them.
Right.
Facebook will be like, oh, sorry, too many messages today, too many messages. So it just takes forever to do anything.
Corporate scum.
Yeah.
And actually the scary thing I think about Facebook is that so many of us depend on it socially. And it's not a public utility. It's not like the phone company. It's not like the electric company.
It's a private enterprise.
It's a private enterprise, and they can just cut you out anytime they want.
And when are you, as an entrepreneur, going to come up with a better Facebook? There is a
The very next thing after G Food Plus.
I can't believe somebody hasn't either people haven't gone back to MySpace or they haven't come up with a new thing that's better. Everybody hates it.
That's true.
And yeah. and I don't know why everybody just hopped off MySpace to Facebook.
The only reason I hopped off there is because everybody else did.
A lot
I was
of people
like,
are
well,
using
well,
it.
Well, that's what Rupert Murdoch bought it. So everybody's like, oh, I don't want to be involved with this corporate scum. And now it's even worse.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, Facebook was used for the college students initially, right?
So
the college students just all moved back over there. And then everybody else who wasn't in that certain little group still tried to cling to the MySpace. But, you know, everybody else is not on there. So,
All the kids are on Instagram.
I don't like Instagram either.
My 91-year-old grandmother's on Facebook, which is cool. I mean,
That's why all the kids are on Instagram.
Because, they don't want my grandmother looking at their crazy pictures. But
how do you feel about Twitter?
I just can't master it.
Yeah?
It's funny because laugh all you want, Basil, because comedians are really...
Are we going to start talking about our lumbago now? Oh, hey, so I got pain here. Oh, my God.
No, no, no.
I can't master Twitter.
What I'm saying, Basil, and don't let me call you a faggot, please. Just don't do it. But Basil, let me tell you something. I'm old, but the thing is, there's comics older than me, younger than me, my same age as I am, that are really blowing up because of Twitter. And for some reason, I'm not. I can't get retweets like they can, and I don't know what's going on. I've bought Twitter followers. I've done all the things that I've followed these formulas that people are at, and I can't get that many Twitter retweets. Do you have an answer for me,
it's
young
his next
hit
book.
Man?
There you go. How to get retweets on Twitter? I would say just generally that it's just a marketing skill. It's like the fact that you have a radio show. It's like you had a particular marketing skill and you have the show. And it's another marketing skill, Twitter.
Okay. So thanks for the answer. But you don't like Instagram either.
Nope.
I like Instagram. I like Tumblr too.
I don't like either of those. I don't like any of the social media sites that I have to use. Yeah.
Like Twitter or do you not like it? And because if you don't like it, then you can't really succeed at it.
Twitter's okay. It's just... it's hard to condense my thoughts to 140 characters. I have a lot of funny stuff that's a lot funnier with 200, 300, 400 characters. And you start posting. The other thing is I'm always posting clever things like a little bit late. The only thing I really caught right when it happened was the U2 shitty album that just put out. Mm-hmm. I caught that right at the cusp. But everything else, like, I'm usually a day behind because I'm out doing shows and by the time I get the news, like, everybody's tweeted about it.
What's wrong with the album? I haven't heard it.
Well, it sucks, but...
there you go. That's,
well,
that's
their last few albums have been really bad. And Old U2's great. War, Unforgettable Fire is great. This song, I mean, the first song is called The Miracle of Joey Ramone. You're like, ooh. Which is better than their last album, which had a song called I'll Go Crazy If I Don't Go Crazy Tonight. The lyrics are so shitty these days with U2 albums. And the music's just not that good. It's not exciting. It's really boring music with bad lyrics.
All right. There was a comedian, I think, I can't remember, maybe it was Conan, who was saying that they actually released something on how to delete it from your iPhone.
Right.
Is that true?
They did. They had to. Because so many people wanted to delete it from their iPhone. And I was talking to them, I'm like, well, you know, what's the big deal? And they're like, well, you got an iCloud, you got a shuffle, and it's all hip-hop or whatever, and you got the fucking... The Miracle of Joey Ramone coming on. You're just like, dude, I let me get this shit off my phone.
All right.
But whatever. I mean, if you like U2 or not, it's fine. But yeah, this is not good.
Okay.
The last couple albums have been really bad.
And you caught that. You were right on the cusp of that as it was.
Yeah, I said it was worth every penny. I was tweeting all sorts of stuff. And yeah, it was. So cigar culture, are people still smoking cigars?
Oh, yeah.
Because when poker came out, when poker really boomed about 10 years ago, that's when cigars were really big, too.
We actually sit there and play poker.
They actually play poker, at the cigar place.
Yeah. That's cool. It's fun. It's great.
Really? And so you're a girl that smokes cigars?
I do. I like a cigar once in a while. I like more of the girly cigars, don't get me wrong. But
The cigarillos with the little tips on them?
I like them.
Really? I've never seen you smoke a cigar.
Yeah, well, you haven't been in the gallery.
I know, that's because I'm not a big cigar smoke fan. My ex-girlfriend used to smoke cigars.
Yeah, I like it. Well, you should come there and at least check it out.
I will.
Yeah, actually, you should. Gorgeous. You would have a good time.
Yeah. I'm sure I would. Well, yeah, so you can fleece me in poker.
And that, and plus you can walk. It's like, what, 6 blocks away from
right, me? Right, right. And yeah, sure. Whenever I always mean to do it, and I never get down.
Next show, September 26th.
September 26th. Yeah. Will I be in town? Oh, I'm doing a show September 26th.
She does it every Friday.
Is that a Friday or Saturday?
That's a Friday.
Friday. It's always Friday.
So I'm doing a show in Huntington Beach. We'll hopefully see what happens. But I mean, so where does the time go? It's 9 minutes to go. You got to tell me about your new invention.
Oh, yeah, I have. By the way, since you're the official co-host, then yes. I guess the other half of the prize goes to you.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
So you're expanding what you're doing.
Yes. Okay. So.
Oh. So we even talk about the Las Vegas show that you're producing.
In the way. Things are in the way. All right. This is a G Food Plus. Here you go.
Oh, awesome.
Two for you and two for you.
Oh, thank you very much. Oh, thank you very much.
And it's instant food, essentially. What happens is you add water, and it's all the nutrients that you could possibly want. And you can live on this if you want. I like it in the mornings for breakfast.
I'm going to put one of these up in the camera here.
You want me to
hold it like that?
Yeah,
yeah. There you go. So that's Tanya's Mexican chocolate.
Yes. And we have four flavors. We have Mexican chocolate, we have churro, we have pineapple, and we have mocha.
How did you come up with those flavors?
And I actually have a pastry chef, 14 years of experience making delicious things, and we brought her on board, and she's the person that created the flavors for the G Food Plus.
Okay.
And the idea is that... when you're in a hurry, let's say I was coming to the studio tonight. I wanted to make sure that I was on time.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have something that's filling. You want to have a meal. You can't be hungry. But even a sandwich is going to take 10 minutes, 12 minutes. You have to make it. You have to put this. You know? And eating chips or Snickers or those things aren't good for you.
Or those 7-Eleven Doritos fucking bullshit things.
What you do is you rip open one of these pouches. Take a cup of water, you dump it in.
Cold water.
Cold water. Or, you know, you can also heat it if you like it warm in the morning. Right. Sometimes I'll have it warm. Mix it up, and you drink it, and it's delicious, and it's filling. It's 500 calories, and it's everything that you need nutritionally.
This is awesome. I mean, even... Yeah.
Try this camera here.
This one here?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
This, it has...
Let me read what's on there. So
no artificial colors, no artificial flavors,
right?
And 100% nutritionally complete.
Right. You've got vitamin A. You've got all these vitamins.
Yes.
160% of biotin, whatever that is.
Biotin.
Biotin. Excuse me. Vitamin A, vitamin C. Over 50% of your vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin E. And Jenna is obviously in great shape, so you eat right.
I'm so thrilled about this. I mean, I usually have, I try to always keep like a food bar or something. That way I'm not tempted to get, you know, some hamburger or french fries.
There you go. Yeah, exactly.
I keep it on me.
Same thing.
In my bag.
So this is better than a balance bar.
This is, yes, it's more complete, actually. A balance bar are balanced, but they're not complete, meaning that you can't live on balance bars. Now, I like to eat. You know, I like food. But this is also very inexpensive. It's less than $2 a meal.
Okay.
So for people that are eating top ramen,
right,
this is a better alternative to that. It's a healthier alternative to
it's
that.
It's actually really good. I tried the chocolate one.
Well, it's not just that.
I'm going to have to try one for lunch tomorrow because I'm going to be running around.
Yeah. If people were more forward thinking,
right,
and they realized, okay, no matter what, I'm going to be spending money.
Yeah.
Either if I eat top ramen or I just eat the really cheap stuff, you're going to pay a doctor.
That's true.
To make up for the difference, or you're going to have to buy vitamins to make up for the difference if you don't want to spend the money at the doctor. So $2, this is awesome. I'm like really, really excited about doing this. If we can buy it in bulk, that would be better.
And the answer is yes.
Jenna in all sorts of ways today.
You even have your email on here.
Yeah.
It's basil@gfoodplus.com.
Yes.
Easy.
So if you want to order the G Food, how do people order the G Food?
It's tonight. Is literally, I wasn't even planning on being here a week ago, so I'm telling everybody about this tonight, but it's going to be coming out in approximately a month. Oh, okay, really? So we're ahead. You guys are ahead of.
I'm getting a sneak preview.
Exactly. We're going to have pre-orders with a Kickstarter, and then at the end of that, we're going to roll it out and deliver it. So this is the first time anywhere on earth that anyone has heard of this, other than within our very closed, the corporation and the people that are doing our testing.
Wow. Okay,
so once I try this, can I talk about it on Facebook?
Yes, I want you to talk
fantastic.
About it. Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't sure because we hate Facebook.
Yeah, no.
I just want to make sure that wasn't my marketing.
We're a radio show. That's why here's the thing. I went through the big decision process. I said, you know what? It's going to be here in a dark mark. This is where we're going to debut.
It's a dark mark exclusive.
Exactly, it is.
G Food.
Actually, G Food.
I'm surprised G Food wasn't taken.
G Food isn't taken. No, but I added the plus because there's a plus. So it's gfoodplusplus.com.
Ah, okay. I look forward. I'm gonna have the chocolate for lunch tomorrow, and we're gonna see how chocolate's the best
one.
And
right? I want you to have more. Yeah, actually, chocolate is my second favorite. Mocha.
Does mocha tastes like coffee?
It does. Coffee and chocolate. And then I have to say, Chris, I just love them all.
Pineapple's
good. The pineapple. Yeah, you knew it. You knew what I was going to say.
That's you got the pineapple.
Yeah,
here,
the pineapple just sort of just bursts, Oh, my God. Yeah.
And what is the other one?
Churro.
Yeah.
Churro.
Yeah.
Churro. That's interesting. So, yeah. I mean, but when you put the water in, what kind of, is it like an oatmeal?
Consistency is like a milkshake.
So it's a shake.
I'm going to Wasteland. How many of these can I purchase before heading out? Since it's going to be a month, I'm like,
The answer is that you can purchase none, but I'll give you many for free.
Ah.
There you go.
Yeah. And then I'll advertise at Wasteland. Yeah. It'll be like, Jen, how can you stay up for 24 hours? 4 days in a row.
Just give me
this. G Food Plus?
Exactly.
Bitches. I'll add that part.
What is Wasteland Weekend?
It's similar to...
I'm going to get crucified for this.
It's similar to Burning Man, but smaller, cheaper.
I know what it is. Yeah, it's, okay. It's like the cool Burning Man that people
it
can
is,
afford.
Actually.
It's very intimate family, post-apocalyptic type of get-together. Like Mad Max.
Right. When is that?
It's this coming weekend. This weekend, but the next weekend, the 25th through the 28th.
Okay. You can still go.
I mean, they didn't put a cap on it this year, so you can still go and camp, and it's just like $100. That's it.
What were you going to say?
So go to Wasteland.com.
I was going to say, ask me why I'm not going to Wasteland Weekend.
Why are you not going?
Because I love Wasteland Weekend, but unfortunately, Deont Word is playing at the Palladium on that Saturday, and it was like I bought my tickets. I was like, oh, my God. I love Deont Word.
Okay.
So.
I think you're fakey.
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, you guys are just some of the most charming people I know. Kendra, how do people get a hold of you and tell us about that next event at the Second Street Cigar?
Just get a hold of me on, unfortunately, Facebook. Just look up.
Liquid City.
So you got Kendra and crying. Mm-hmm. Kendra Liquid City crying.
Yeah.
And what was the
Kendra
other one?
Kendra Artist
crying.
Yes.
Okay.
C-R-Y-A-N. Yep, that's right. And the next event, like I said, will be at Second Street Cigars and Gallery. That's on 2nd Spring Street in downtown Los Angeles. There'll be about 30 artists there. We always have a poker table, and we'll have wine and some snacks and just amazing art.
Just smoke a blunt with Kendra.
Yeah. Come on down.
And Basil, how do we get a hold of you, and how do we get pre-orders G Food again?
You can go to gfoodplus.com, and if you're looking for any of my books, just go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. Type in my name, Basil Nestor.
Is it Basil? I've been calling you Basil the whole time.
That's okay. My British friends call me Basil.
Yes.
But it's Basil Nestor, Nestor.
Right.
And then all my books will come up. And, whatever you're interested in, whether it's craps or poker or blackjack, I've written a book about it.
And speaking of Nestor, stick around if you're listening to Skid Row live, because Nestor Rodriguez is on up next with The Story is Public Radio. But and Jenna, how do people get? We're going to see you at Wasteland Weekend, of course.
I'll be at Wasteland.
Now, what are you going to be? What outfit are you going to be wearing at Wasteland?
I have several different ones. My friend Steph and I went to Goodwill. My favorite is that it's just this V, like a V or a triangle shaped scarf that I'm literally just wrapping around me and tying around my neck.
I was going to say,
that's it. Yeah. It's too hot sometimes to overdo it there.
Well, Jenna,
it'll be leather at night and. Black leather at night, and then
little scarf during the day.
Tiny scarves during the day.
That's a song, black leather at night, and yes. tiny scarves during the day.
The less the better, Jenna. You're beautiful, and we all.
Thanks.
And thanks for coming. Well, thank you. I said thanks for coming. I thank everybody. Have a wonderfully creepy week, everybody.
Thanks, Mark.